for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. Thanks for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America. Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the June 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Giddy up, sports fans. Triple Crown Horse Racing tops Monday show. Heavily favored Tis the Law won the Belmont Stakes over the weekend in New York. It's being described as surely the weirdest of the 152 Belmont races since 1867. The AP's Julie Walker reports.
Eerily empty grandstands, masked jockeys, shuttered betting windows. This was the coronavirus Belmont, which led off the first leg of the Triple Crown with the action captured on NBC Sports.
Tis the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
In an interview with ESPN, Tis the Law trainer Barkley Tagg says racing without fans is like every day they train.
You don't hear a lot of screaming and hollering and music playing and bagpipes and all that kind of stuff on a regular training day. And you can get a lot done that way with a horse, you know.
The last legs of the Triple Crown are the Kentucky Derby September 5th and the Preakness October 3rd. Julie Walker, New York.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us now with some of the highlights from weekend European club football action. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. A goal by Ivorian forward Nicolas Pepe wasn't enough as Arsenal suffered a 2-1 loss to relegation threat in Brighton, thanks to an injury time winner by Neil Mopey. Christian Pulisic and Olivier Giroud scored within 2 minutes of each other as Chelsea came from behind to beat Aston Villa 2-1. It was Chelsea's first away win in the Premier League in 2020, with the victory providing Lampard with calls for celebration on his 100th match as a manager. Liverpool's inevitable title celebration will have to wait a little bit longer. The Reds drew 0-0 with Everton on Sunday in the Merseyside Derby, meaning that Klopp's team no longer can win the league on Monday. The Reds are 23 points clear of second-place Manchester City, who play host to Burnley on Monday's Premier League encounter. Bruno Fernandes' 81st-minute penalty after French playmaker of Guinean descent Paul Pogba was bundled over by Eric Dier made sure United went home with a 1-1 draw against Tottenham. Steven Bergwijn had given Tottenham a halftime lead. The point keeps United fifth with 46 points, 4 ahead of 8th place Tottenham. Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez both scored as Inter claimed a 2-1 win over Sampdoria in Serie A. The former Manchester United striker struck from 10 yards and celebrated by taking a knee in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. The win means Inter third with 57 points, 6 behind leaders Juventus, who travel to face Bologna in Serie A on Monday. Barca's goalless draw with Sevilla on Friday handed Zinedine Zidane's men the chance to leapfrog their rivals at the summit, and they duly seized the opportunity, with French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema adding to Sergio Ramos's penalty and ensuring Real Madrid beat Real Sociedad 2-1 on Sunday to move top of La Liga. Robert Lewandowski also scored twice for Bayern Munich, and Erling Haaland netted a double for for Borussia Dortmund, as both sides recorded victories in the penultimate round of Bundesliga games. Bayern, who had secured the title in their previous match, won 3-1 at home against Freiburg, while Dortmund guaranteed themselves second place with a 2-0 victory at third place RB Leipzig. Father's Day is synonymous with sports, and various athletes took to social media on Sunday to honor and wish their dads a special day. Here are some of our favorite Father's Day tributes from the players. Former New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady showed his appreciation for his dad, Tom Brady Sr., by posting a picture with a heartfelt message on Twitter saying, and I quote, "This picture was taken 6 years ago at a course we never could have dreamed of playing, Augusta National. Dreams really do come true, and when I think of someone who'd give anything in the world to make my dreams come true, it always comes back to you, Pops. Always your son." Brady's teammate, Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski, also celebrated his dad by saying, and I quote, "Happy Father's Day to Papa Gronk from your number one son. Thanks for showing us the way, everything from the motivations and techniques to become better athletes as kids to building your fitness business from the ground up and the importance of living and enjoying life every day." Golden State Warriors superstar Steph Curry wished his dad, World Steph Del Curry, a happy Father's Day on his Instagram page by saying, and I quote, "My guy, celebrating you for everything you've done for me, one Waddle to another. Love you. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers and father figures that love this job. Keep raising the bar." Waddle Curry played in the NBA from 1986 until 2002 and retired as the Charlotte Hornets' all-time leader in points and three-point field goals made. Vanessa Bryant also honored the late Kobe Bryant, who passed away earlier this year, with an extra special message and a photo of him with all his daughters. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Eugene, Oregon.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Nigerian football players Daniel Jinadu and Joshua Okocha recently signed their first professional contracts with the English Premier League club West Ham United. Jinadu and Okocha put pen to paper after being with West Ham's youth academy. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye called Johannesburg, South Africa, where he reached African football analyst Emeka Enyadike.
The signing of Daniel Jinadu, the goalkeeper, and Joshua Okocha by West Ham is quite a good development for the Nigerian players, because West Ham has got probably one of the best youth development structures in all of the Premier League. And I believe that if they work hard, and they'll get their chance, because a lot of the players around that whole area where West Ham is based, a lot of black and African players, black Caribbean players as well, who come from that whole area, have made it through the ranks there. And I think that it's going to be a very, very good opportunity for them to thrive, and particularly for the goalkeeper, because he's going to get good training there.
Do you think Nigeria has other youths capable of being signed by big clubs?
Nigeria does have a lot of young talented playing within the country. Typically, a lot of them will go to Asia. Some of them will go to Europe. And the funny part of it is a lot of them go through to Europe, even from the local academies in Nigeria, even before they make it into the professional football ranks. It's always been difficult for players to go on to academies or clubs in the UK, because generally the restrictions or the regulations around work permits need a lot of very, very strict conditions to meet. Some of them have to have played for the national team at senior level. But, you know, when you've played at the Under-17 World Cup and you're a special talent there, sometimes they make certain concessions. And I think with the movement of Jinadu and Okocha to West Ham, that will open up avenues for a lot more players. And the funny thing about Nigeria is that as big as the football scouting structures are, the country is so big and the population is so immense that sometimes it's so difficult to reach out and touch some of the really special players. And, you know, I know from experience getting involved with some grassroots structures years ago, just how much of the talent is outside of the mainstream. So this is a good development and an opportunity that we will find will blossom with the development, and hopefully some of them do make it.
What should the football academies in Nigeria and similar institutions do to produce more football talents?
I think a lot of the academies in Nigeria need to take a step back right now. They need to improve their coaching structures. They need to employ coaches with a lot more training and, you know, a lot more experience, particularly with working with young players. What you find is there's quite a growing number of academies emerging, and some of them just go out there to play. They let the kids have a run out every now and then and they play. Something needs to change. They need to look at avenues where, first of all, some of them, especially the ones that have been able to transfer players and earn some good foreign currency, they need to invest in some of the emerging technologies for tracking players' performance and development. Because what then happens is that the players go out to Europe and they are better equipped. So what is happening now is that a lot of them go through just very basic training. And so when they go out there, they have to do a lot of catching up, because modern football has evolved to a point where a lot of it is data-driven and some of the coaching standards have increased. But it's incredible just how much they achieve with the kind of quality that they have. But without a doubt, a lot of them do not reinvest the money. But we're hoping that with more and more of them able to have players transferred into mainstream professional football in Europe, they'll be able to put some of those funds into improving their structures to be able to improve and probably, let me even say, train much better players. But in terms of natural talent, the talent is there, but they just need to work hard on getting them ready for a professional football, whether they make it into clubs in Nigeria or, as most of them aspire, they make it into clubs in Europe. And it's more like a pathway for a lot of young players in Africa. They just want to go out there and try out, and most of them believe that they can make it.
That's African football analyst Emeka Enyadike. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Enyadike from the City of Gold, Johannesburg. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Lori. That's my VOA colleague, Lori London. In auto racing news, NASCAR says it has launched an investigation after a noose was found Sunday in the garage of Bubba Wallace, the only black driver competing in its Top Cup series. Reuters reporter Libby Hogan has more details.
NASCAR says the noose was found in his garage stall at the Talladega Superspeedway in Alabama. Wallace has slammed the act as despicable and racist. In a statement, NASCAR said, quote, "We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act." Wallace recently wore an I Can't Breathe t-shirt under his race jacket. The last words of unarmed black man George Floyd, who died while in Minneapolis police custody. That's set off global protests and calls for change around the world. He also decked out his car with the words Black Lives Matter for a race earlier this month. On Instagram, Wallace wrote that the noose incident, quote, leaves me incredibly saddened and serves as a painful reminder of how much further we have to go as a society. Also this month, the Confederate flag was banned from all NASCAR races and its facilities, as the sport moved to distance itself from a checkered past on race. But on Sunday, a plane flew over the track with the flag and a banner reading Defund NASCAR.
That was Reuters reporter Libby Hogan. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with football news from Kenya and South Africa is Samson Omale.
The South Africa Football Association has removed two vice presidents following a national executive committee meeting on Saturday. Ria Lidwaba and Game Wekwena were the two individuals relieved of their duties after the NEC said they had no more confidence in their abilities. Octon Chief Executive Officer Tibogo Motlanthe says Lidwaba's removal is related to her sending a letter to the South African Sports Confederation and Olympic Committee and the Sports Minister, Nathi Mthethwa, asking for intervention on internal matters.
The constitution and that of FIFA is clear on third-party involvement, and she could have looked for other avenues like talking to CAF or FIFA if she felt that the association is not doing right. She said no, it was because the president did not respond, and the president proved to the meeting that she responded to her and said.
In her reaction, Ria Lidwaba described their removal as deliberately orchestrated.
The manner in which it was done in a manner that you could see that it was orchestrated. It was all done. It was just a formality in that meeting.
In Kenya, Gor Mahia, one of Kenya's most successful clubs, head coach Stephen Pollock, is asking football stakeholders in the country to take a definite decision on the direction of the football league season in the country. The conclusion of the current KPL season has been thrown into doubt owing to the coronavirus that is ravaging the world. KPL, which was supposed to end on May 23rd, was suspended in March, with Gor Mahia sitting at the top with less than 10 rounds of matches to go.
I think they need to look at the big picture before they can make a big decision like that, because they say that the next season is supposed to start in August. So if we have to wait till the president, is it the 30th of June, to make a decision, then we'd have to train 4 or 5 weeks. So that takes you into August. So that means the season won't finish till September, October.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. The Japan Football Association has withdrawn its bid to host the 2023 Women's World Cup, making the joint Australia-New Zealand bid the favorite in Thursday's FIFA vote. Japan's withdrawal on Monday came just over 1 week after FIFA released its bid evaluations. FIFA scored Australia-New Zealand highest out of 5 points with 4.1. Japan was second at 3.9, and Colombia was third at 2.8. Japan Football Association Chairman Kozo Toshima said he sensed a change in the soccer wins after the postponement of the 2020 Tokyo Olympics to 2021. Toshima said because the Olympic Women's Football Tournament and the Women's World Cup basically have the same teams, there was concern that hosting the two marquee women's soccer events within a 2-year period would be perceived negatively. VOA's Gwen Uden joins us now with an update on Liverpool's quest to win its first English Premier League football title in 30 years. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has admitted that during the coronavirus lockdown, he feared his team could be denied the triumph of winning the league title. Well, Liverpool will have to wait a little longer. The Reds were hoping to secure 3 of the 6 points they need to clinch the title, but after Sunday's scoreless draw against Everton, they have to settle for just 1. After the match, Klopp spoke on video for Everton FC and said he was disappointed in his team's failure to create enough chances to score.
Today, I think the point is the one we deserve. Even I have to admit that, of course, haven't had the biggest chance to win the game. That was a little bit our problem, that we didn't create enough chances with all the possession we had. I like the intensity level of the game for my boys. I like the high press, the counter press, the midfield press. I like all these kind of things. I didn't like too much, but you cannot force that. It was like the rhythm. There was not a moment of offensive play. Things. We had good football moments, absolutely, not until the last moment. So we didn't have enough chances, that's for sure.
Everton manager Carlo Ancelotti said his side stuck to the game plan and played well enough to keep the number one team in the league from scoring.
Honestly, we were really close to winning, but it was a tough game, difficult game. I think that we performed really well, number one defensively. We were focused, we sacrificed. At the end, we had opportunities to score. We were a little bit unlucky, but it doesn't matter.
Everton is set to travel to Norwich City for their next match on Wednesday. Later that day, Liverpool will face Crystal Palace at home in Anfield. Meanwhile, Tottenham manager Jose Mourinho has placed blame on the virtual assistant referee for denying his side a Friday victory against Manchester United. A late-game penalty by United midfielder Paul Pogba allowed teammate Bruno Fernandes to equalize the match and deny the Hotspurs valuable points needed in their race to the Champions League. Afterwards, Mourinho expressed his frustration with the role VAR played in his 1-1 draw.
I think in the first penalty, the referee, Jonathan, he made this decision, which I admit is difficult for referees, but the VAR is a different story. I think referees can make mistakes, but I don't think VAR should make mistakes. Then the second penalty is incredible for me because it's a fall on Serge Aurier that could and should kill the situation. And then it's a situation in the box where I feel when the VAR goes for a simulation, immediately the player should be exposed and get a yellow card. But that didn't happen. I feel really upset with these two decisions.
However, United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer praised Paul Pogba's performance in only his 9th appearance of the season.
He's had such a frustrating season with his injuries, so there's always going to be talk about the big players. And if he scores a goal, he doesn't defend well. If he defends well, he doesn't score enough. And for me, Paul's shown today how he can contribute. He tackled, he won the ball, he created chances, and he had skills to win us a penalty, was in the box a few times. So I just look forward to getting him fitter, and so he can play more and more, and gradually we'll see more and more and Paul getting back to his best.
Man United's next match will be against Sheffield United, scheduled for Wednesday. Tottenham is set to face West Ham on Tuesday, and get ready for Monday's matchup when Burnley restarts their season against Manchester City. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Hall of Fame basketball player Clyde the Glide Drexler. Clyde the Glide is celebrating his 58th birthday on this Monday. He was born June 22nd, 1962, in New Orleans, Louisiana. The Basketball Hall of Fame describes Drexler as one of the most graceful athletes ever to step on the court. Clyde the Glide earned his nickname for his seemingly effortless glides to the basket. Drexler was a 10-time NBA All-Star, and in 1995, he was reunited with his college teammate, Akeem the Dream Olajuwon, and they helped lead the Houston Rockets to their second NBA championship. Happy 58th birthday, Clyde the Glide Drexler. And that wraps up the June 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to sukus, Afrobeat to ndumbulu and makosa to kwe.